I would like to introduce to you the path to health. This idea originally came from a teacher of mine way back in chiropractic school, Dr. Goldberg, who was a brilliant nutrition teacher who was steeped in the notions of natural hygiene, which I think is one of, if not the best, practical as well as almost ideal methods of eating. There are places where practical and ideal don't really mesh very well when it comes to diet. This is something I talk about in several places, so I'm not going to go into detail here, but natural hygiene is perhaps the most profound step forward in a clinical, practical, applied kind of healing diet. Anyway, a great read if you want to study up on it and their philosophies. The book written by Marilyn and Harvey Diamond, Fit for Life, is kind of a natural hygiene type philosophy with some other ideas mixed in there. In any event, he said this: there is no such thing as cure. And that perked all our ears up. He said, there is a path to health and a path to disease. There's no such thing as cure. Now, this concept becomes vital when one begins to take responsibility for his or her own health. It's absolutely essential that each of us recognize we are taking a step on the path to health or on the path to disease. At any given time, what we're doing with our physical bodies, what we're eating, what we're thinking, how we react to others, those things are all components of either a path to health or a path to disease. And so I have decided to spend a little time in the educational process on my website talking about the path to health and what that looks like, and hopefully encouraging each person who studies this and listens to it to get on that path. And of course, none of us in the modern world are probably going to get completely onto the path of health. It'd be lovely if we did, but it's probably, maybe not none of us, but very rarely. Even people who follow it very pristinely often have a lot of baggage they're carrying emotionally that drives them, and until they deal with that, in some ways, they're still on the path to disease. It's very difficult in the modern world. So this morning, I got up. I happen to be on vacation at the moment. I don't traditionally take a lot of vacations, but one of the things I'm doing to try to get more on the path to health is have a little bit more balance. I work very, very hard, long hours, and for a long time I wasn't in a position where I could afford to take a vacation at all, and so I didn't. But the interesting thing about that is you kind of can't afford not to take a vacation. And that was a learning curve for me. I had to learn it the hard way, by going down the path to disease and discovering that, hey, there's disease down there. And so vacations don't have to be expensive. This one is kind of a medium-priced vacation. I'm not spending a lot of money, but I'm out of the country. And but you should do something. You really need desperately to do something, and for long enough to break up the pattern of stress in your life. So for one thing we could learn about the path to health is that we use it, we use the path to health whenever we break up patterns of stress in our lives. I also this morning had some fresh fruit that's locally grown here in Ecuador. And that was lovely. That was definitely on the path to health. The way I consumed it showed that I have not gotten over some of my stress around eating. And I grew up with kind of a dysfunctional gut. And so that leads to a lot of different difficulties in the relationship to food. I also grew up in a household where you had to get out and work hard and on the farm, and if you came in to eat, then you had to hurry and get back out there. And of course, that doesn't lend itself to any kind of healthy digestion, causes potentially cortisol to be dumped. And there are some other things we'll talk about in other places that I had to learn from that. I want you to understand I'm on the process of switching my life over, as I hope you will be, from the path to disease to the path of health. And even though I've known about this concept for quite a while, some things I had to learn the hard way. It's unfortunate that any of us would have to learn anything the hard way, but that's the way it is. And some of you are going to find that some things you just won't do or can't do or are just not awake enough to do, and life will wake you up. So that's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. And hopefully each person listening to this will make a commitment in themselves to get on the path to health and stay there. And when they discover that part of their life is not on the path to health, they will start moving it over to the path of health. And they will leave that as a legacy, one of the legacies they leave to their children and to their friends and to anyone who might be influenced and affected by their choices. Not because they slap them in the face with it, but because they see that the people around you see that you are on the path to health. That's what we want. And we want that to be definitely a legacy in families. Because here's the thing, the trend, unfortunately, has been a very rapid trend toward disease. And we're going to talk more about that in other places, and I don't want to dwell on that. But one is truly blind to not see that we are destroying our health. There are some things that culturally we have bought into, propaganda we've bought into about, lifespan is getting longer and longer, etc. But that really hasn't been true for a long time. Life expectancy includes children who die. And one thing we've gotten very good at is saving children from childhood diseases. So that's a very good thing. And it's wonderful that we have antibiotics, which are primarily the reason we're able to do that. Many of the diseases you think are saved in other ways don't have anything to do with medicine. They have to do with nutrition. They have to do with the availability of fresh produce, which made its way into our society, both as a practical availability and as a habit of eating fresh produce. And that really was responsible for rooting out both smallpox and polio, not any medical intervention. And the information is out there to prove that, to substantiate that statement. So definitely some things were misled on, but definitely we have gotten very good at saving children who have infections. And because of that, life expectancy appeared to go up, even though the life expectancy of a 55-year-old has been dropping since the 1920s. So enough said about that. You'd truly be blind not to notice we're in a terrible shape. Every person you see around you, every single one of them, is struggling with health concerns. That is not a natural state. Humans shouldn't even be aware that there are health concerns, right? They should only be aware that everything's going pretty good. Maybe if they get an injury or something, they have a healing process, or maybe occasionally they get sick with something like a cold, but that shouldn't kill you. That shouldn't become life-threatening in any circumstances, and it shouldn't knock you down for a week at a time. Certainly shouldn't still be with you months later, right? That's insane. That is a very sick person who's experiencing that. But that's the point. Everybody, everywhere that you look is sick today. We do not have, we were born sick. And when you look at people who made it into very old age currently, they were from unusual families where they weren't born sick. But most people alive today were born sick. And if you're a young person, you're second or third generation born sick. So I hate to break that to you, but we have been, as a society, on the path to disease and running down it as fast as we can go. So you know, some of you are disturbed about that or talk to yourself in ways that aren't very helpful about that. The conversation you should be having to yourself right now is, that's awesome. I see that this is true. How do I get on the path to health, Dr. Sellers? Because I really want to get on that path. And absolutely, you're going to learn how to get on that path right here. And I'm working on it. Everybody's working on it. I'm not putting myself above anybody, but I've spent a lifetime learning this and studying it. So I'm going to share what I know. Okay. All right. Now, I've laid the foundation work for the path to health. And now let me just talk about, just briefly, what the layout is going to be like in our discussion of the path to health on this website and available in either audio or written format. Okay, so we have, as I see it, to my perspective, we have a discussion we can have about tools on the path to health. These are things that we use because we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We've got to do something about obstacles to getting on the path to health. And when we get on the path to health, obstacles arise that would not normally be there simply because of how sick we are. So we need to have tools to remove those obstacles. It's an interesting thing. Some people will get on the path to health and then give up immediately because they have symptoms. Well, those symptoms are because of how sick we really are. And so instead of giving up on the path to health, that doesn't make any sense. What we need to do is learn how to deal with the obstacles that arise in the path to health. And some of them will just be difficult times. We just hike over a very difficult hill. Some of them will be obstacles that actually have to be removed, blockades and blockages, fallen trees, fences, gates in our way that need to be removed, turned into something useful. And so we have tools. And I will certainly be talking about tools to use on the path to health. Tools are not the only thing. We also have icons. These are like landmarks. Landmarks might be a better fit for our analogy. If we're on a path, we have certain things that we want to make sure we're looking for. And certain things that we want to make sure are packed. So, for example, if I'm going on a hike, and I just went on a hike up into the Wind River Mountains. I've been hiking since I've been in Ecuador as well, but I just went on a hike up in the Wind River Mountains, way up high, way up above timberline. And I carried a backpack with me. And in that backpack was some food, some water, something in case we got stranded in the cold and had to protect ourselves from the elements. Various methods of lighting a fire. I brought some herbal first aid and some bandages and first aid. A knife. I had things in there that I felt like I would need. Things that I could maybe catch fish with. So these were important components to getting on the path to health. So we can put that under icons. We can also say there are certain landmarks we're looking for. And we're going to keep going down the path to health. And when we hit that landmark, we're going to be like, okay, this is a landmark on the path to health. It may be accompanied by some discomfort because we're hiking up to catch up to where we should have been, right? Once we get up where we should have been, it's fairly smooth sailing on the path to health as long as you stay on it. If you get off it, then you got to reclimb the hill because the path of health is way up on the hill. And it's a beautiful path. It's a smooth path, but it's a path that to obtain it takes some work. So if you slide off of it, you have to climb back up. And so there are certain things we look for on that path to health and to let us know this is a good thing. This is a landmark of progress. And then we want to talk about some of the missteps, the common things that people do to trip themselves up and how to prevent that. You know, we want to get the proper footwear on, and footwear represents foundational things we have to deal with. So this morning when I had my fruit and I ate it hastily one of the challenges with that is that the stomach, rather than secreting its digestive secretions to start that digestive process in a beautiful, complete way, and the primary, the fundamental component in your body to having your food nourish and heal you is to have the stomach itself working. I don't mean the whole belly. I'm not talking about all the intestines. People hear stomach and they think bowel movement. That's not right. We're talking about the actual stomach organ, the very first place food arrives when you swallow it. And so eating the way I did made the stomach not work very well. So that's a misstep, right? Learning how to fix that, how to correct that. Taking cayenne before meals. There's a breathing exercise we do with the diaphragm that pumps the stomach full of blood so that the stomach wall, you know, so that it can secrete and mix and do what it should. It also loosens the stomach up and gets energy flowing through it. Those are things that they're like, there's a misstep, and then there's how do we prevent it, which is proper footwear, proper stepping, taking proper steps in the proper order to avoid stumbling on stones and steps and vines and things that might be across the path. So we can divide it up now into icons or things we have to carry with us and things we look for, tools, things to deal with problems that have arisen simply because of where we are, and missteps, common mistakes we make, and what to do about it, or proper footwear. We should think about it in terms of proper footwear and a very positive perspective on that. So that's the introduction to The Path to Health. And we're going to talk about these. I want you to know a little something about me, if you don't already. Many people coming to this website already know about me. But I use everything I talk about in practice. This is, I'm not a consultant. I'm not somebody you just show up to and talk to and then you go about your merry way, and I have no idea if what I recommended worked or not. I see people over and over again as a chiropractor. Chiropractic is one of the tools we might use to kind of help reset the body, as well as stimulate healing, stimulate neurological communication. It's a tool we use to help us on our way. It's not necessarily a component of the ideal health, but it is a tool we use to help us along the way. So as a chiropractor, I see patients over and over again. And I started learning, literally when a child, I started learning methods of diagnosing how a person was doing, non-invasive means to see what's wrong, what's healing, how they're doing. And, you know, it's not as perfect as a picture, but pictures leave so much to be desired. So really, the perfect diagnosis should include both an assessment of what the body needs and how it's doing overall, as well as a picture or a blood test or something of exactly what's wrong. But when it comes to the path to health and the healing process, those pictures don't help us that much. And what helps us more is being able to assess how the body is doing in subtle ways to see if it's doing better and responding like it should. So I get a body back again and again and again. I get to talk to them again and again and again. I find out if what I'm doing is working or not. I get to see what works really well and what kind of works, or what works just moderately well. I get to see when something is making a person feel better, but all of the signs showing up in their body is that it's actually causing some problems downstream. Now, I don't mean to say I'm perfect. I miss things. Some things are I surprise and find out later. But I'm very good at what I do, and I kind of have a knack for picking out the best things. There are lots of things I wish I had a knack for that I don't, but I happen to have a knack for that. And so my hope is that you will appreciate that the tools I use are based on results. And you'll notice that when I talk about supplements, I talk about a lot of different supplements. And that I don't just talk about supplements. I talk about sometimes, like with the kidneys, supplements are very helpful, especially nutritional supplements when a person is depleted badly. But
the kidney exercise is more profoundly effective, and you can do it for free, and it's already on YouTube. You can already learn about it on YouTube and start doing the exercise yourself. So I hope what you will gather when you're done here is that I've done my homework. This is not my only agenda, is to get people healthy and to change the trend in our world, and that I'm highly motivated to give you the very best thing that can be gotten, and that I take into consider both short-term and long-term gains. To gain something short-term at the expense of the long-term is not on the healing path. That's something else. That's something confusing and deceptive that looks like the healing path but isn't. And so I hope that you will appreciate what I'm bringing to the table. I also have lots of education. I started studying natural healing when I was just a child, really. By the time I was a teenager, I had learned several different approaches. And then I studied herbal medicine. I have a master's degree in herbal medicine. I've studied courses from other herbal colleges besides the one I went to. I have a degree, a doctorate degree in chiropractic. I have a degree in massage therapy and Rolfing. I have studied until I sort of mastered. I don't know, mastered is a very arrogant thing to say about this, but in Qigong, I've mastered several forms of Qigong. When I say mastered, I mean I learned the form and I learned how to use it effectively for healing. Actually, there is a depth to the Chinese healing arts that I probably will spend a lifetime learning. So mastery is probably not the right word, but it's something I use and use in practice, and have studied all kinds of Eastern and Western massage techniques, things that I'll share with you and try to teach you when it is important, either as a tool or an icon or a component of being on the path to health. So that's who I am. That's my commitment to you. And I hope that you'll be able to enjoy and benefit from these short little instruction sessions we'll have in video, audio, and written material on this website. Thanks so much.